Good morning. It's a wonderful time to be able to assemble this morning as we have to worship God and to sing songs of praise to Him. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. And that's what I want to focus on this morning in our lesson. As Christians, we know that God's Word, there's a great day coming. A lot of times we spend talking about preparing for that, about the things that we need to be doing on this earth, the negative aspect, the hell, that's also a part of the Scriptures. But this morning, I want to focus on heaven, and I want to talk about that great day that's coming. Can you imagine, based on what we read from the Scriptures, can you imagine that day that is coming, that wonderful day that's coming? Yes, we know that it'll be a sad day for those who have not prepared themselves. But I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians who have prepared themselves. This is going to be a great day. And what I hope to be able to do this morning, and again, I appreciate Brother Combs' prayer because it's exactly the intent of my lesson this morning, is to motivate us to want to go to heaven. It's a great place. It's a great day. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I hope you will listen closely because God has given us encouragement. He has given us everything we need to be motivated to want to do His will and go to heaven. Because there is a great day coming. And I want everyone here to be able to enjoy that and to be able to be a part of that. There are three things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about where is heaven? What's it going to be like when we get there? And what are we going to do when we do get there? What is a day in heaven going to be like? And I believe the Scriptures give us some insight to that. And I know that there's a lot of symbolic language in Revelation and throughout the Scripture that talks about heaven. God uses word pictures to try to illustrate to us the majestic view of heaven. But we don't, all we can do is look at words that we know of. We've never been to heaven. And so it's difficult for us to fully understand how it's going to be or what it's going to be like. But I think there's enough revealed in the Word of God that we can see and know what God expects and what He intends for us to be able to enjoy when we're in heaven. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 11:28 and 29. What I want to do is talk about the promise that God has given us. And we'll deal with that first. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest of your souls or for your souls. We often read that verse when we're given an invitation, and rightfully so. But what is the promise here? And you will find rest for your souls, both in this life and the life to come. What a beautiful passage this is that Jesus gives to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. How many this morning are here suffering trials and tribulations and have a great burden? Jesus says, come unto me. My burden is light. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He didn't say you might be. He said you will be saved. There's great hope and great promises that our Lord gives us, but we have to listen to what God is telling us. We have to believe the Bible. We have to read the Bible to understand it. His will has been revealed in the Word of God. If you want to know how to be saved, open the Bible. And you will learn. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants us all to go to heaven. But we have to make that choice for ourselves. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life. Think about that promise. Eternal life. I can't even describe what eternity means. But I tell you, it's something I don't want to miss. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We cannot lose our soul unless we give it up. No one can take it from us, Satan or anyone else, but we can give it up. And so we need to guard against that. John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine the place that our Lord has gone to prepare for us? Can you imagine? Look at the magnificent world that we live in and the creation that God gave us, and imagine what it's going to be like in heaven, that He's gone to prepare a place for us. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You want to know what it's going to be like to be in heaven? It's going to be something that we know, that we are there in the very face-to-face sight of God and Jesus. John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Where I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. God is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And we have a hope of eternity in heaven with Him, in the presence, the very presence of God. We are being promised something that defies all understanding. In our infinite, if our minds, our finite minds, we cannot understand the full magnitude of God's promise here. But it's breathtaking in just what little we can understand. I want to motivate every brother, every sister, every non-Christian that is in this audience this morning to listen to these promises that God has given us and to avail yourself of them. Everyone has the opportunity to go to heaven. Everyone does. The promise of God, again, is an eternal existence with Him in heaven, and it will not be broken by the Father. Jesus cannot lie. God cannot lie. He's made the promise, and it will happen. It's just a matter of time. Unless we die first, the Lord is coming again. Again, the fulfillment of God's promise is our reward for being faithful. He's not just going to give us this promise without us having to be obedient toward Him. We must be obedient, but He is faithful to reward us if we are. 2 Peter 3:13, Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And where, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Revelations 21:7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. These are the promises that our Lord has given us. And we can avail ourselves to this promise and know that He will not lie about it. And we know that it will happen. Where is heaven? Everybody's expecting me to give you the answer on this. I don't know where it is. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say exactly where it is. But I can glean from the Bible some glimpses into where heaven is. All right, so I see three mentions or different usage of the word heaven in the Bible. It's mentioned in a place where birds fly, up in the atmosphere, Genesis 1:20. You can go and study these scriptures on your own, but he says in Genesis 1:20, God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. James 5:18, And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The second usage, heaven mentioned, is where the stars and moon are, outer space, if you will. Genesis 1, verses 14 to 18. And God said, Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. And let them be for lights and firmament in heaven, give the light upon the earth as it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Genesis 1:17, And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Another usage, the third usage, and the heaven that I want to talk about this morning is the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and 4. 2 Corinthians 12. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one was caught up into the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12, 3. And I knew such a man, whether it's the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But God knoweth. Verse 4. And he came up and caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. The eternal abode of God is what we're talking about in Deuteronomy 26, verse 15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven. Bless thy people of Israel and the land which thou hast given us, thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. God is in heaven. One day, we too will go to heaven if we've been obedient and faithful to God. That's the heaven I'm talking about. The physical area, I don't know. We'll get into that in a little bit more detail. Acts 7, 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. A place where Christ is. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Ephesians 1, 20. Which he brought into Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand in heavenly places. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not something that has been conjured up for the weak. Something that we just, we're so weak that we have to have some idea of something better once we die. No, God has promised us a place in heaven. It's a real place. Wherever it is, it's real. And Jesus will be there. God will be there. And the saints who have been obedient to him will be there as well. It is a real place. It's not some fairy tale that we conjured up, that we made to suit our weakness. John 14, 3 is a good scripture to go read. We won't read that now for the sake of time, but go to John 14, 3. All right, heaven is a real place. What is heaven like? We often use familiar terms to describe the unfamiliar. God employs the same technique. He'll use terms that are familiar to us, but we have not been there, so we don't know. So when you go and try to understand what heaven is like, you're going to run across a lot of symbolic language and terms that God uses to try to help us to understand that. He uses word pictures. One of them is, it's a home, or it's a country. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died faith in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This earth that we live on is temporary for us. We're just passing through. We've sang that song so many times. We're just pilgrims passing through this world. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. This is what Jesus went to prepare for us. A home in heaven with him. And that's where we want to go. If this is your home, you have nothing. It's going away. It's going to be destroyed. But our home in heaven is for eternity. Hebrews 11, 15, and truly they said, had been mindful of that country which they came out of, that they may have an opportunity to have been returned. Heaven is described as a city in 11:16, Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country that is in a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We know this earth is not our home, that we're just passing through. The same attitude should be of us going home to be with our Father, to be in a home with him. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Also, they were afraid of height and of terrors in the way. The almond trees blossom, the grasshopper is a burden, and desires fall, for man go to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Our eternal home is what we're talking about. Revelations 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What things is he talking about? Revelations 21:2. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, as he sat upon the throne, he said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, for they're true and faithful. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sadness in heaven. The things that we endure on this earth are going away. Christ said, I will make all things new. We can't imagine what heaven's going to be like other than what we see right here. But we just can't imagine what it means to have all things new. I call it the no mores. No more death, no sin, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain. No more invisible God. We walk by faith. There's going to be a day when we walk by sight. We're going to see God. We're going to be in the presence, the very presence of God. Yes, God is with us this morning. We know that. But again, we will be in the physical. We'll be able to see God. It's more exciting than I can describe. And I hope it motivates everyone. What are we going to do in heaven? This is the $20 million question. Once we get there, what are we going to do? We sang the song, Won't It Be Wonderful There? Why is it going to be wonderful? Hebrews 8:1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. It's going to be wonderful because God is there. It's going to be a place that we can worship God. Revelation 7:13. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these things that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these things which came out of great tribulation have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sitteth on the throne and shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them nor heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelations 5:11. And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels around the throne, beasts of the elders and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb which was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. What are we going to do when we get there? We're going to worship God day and night. Think about that. Some might go, oh, we're going to do that all day and all night. Does that mean I got to get up Sunday morning, I'm tired, I got to put on a suit, I got to come in here, and I know after 30, 40 minutes, our attention span starts going, and we're going to sing six songs. Oh, we think sometimes like that, as it's almost how can we imagine worshiping God day and night, forever, for eternity, and have that kind of thought? Well, I know, and I've said it before, if you're bored in worship here, you're not going to like heaven. And we say that, and I believe that, but to the extent that if our worship is not in spirit and in truth, and if we're not worshiping in the manner that we should, that's true. But there's more that we need to understand about that. I think we forget sometimes to talk about the difference that it's going to be in heaven than it is sitting in these pews. We're going to be a different creature. We're going to have a different body, a different spiritual body. We're not going to have sin. There's not going to be sin in heaven. We're not going to have any cares of the world. That's gone. All things are made new. We're not going to have be worrying about how we're going to make ends meet, what job we're going to have tomorrow. All these problems that we've got today that come into our service, that encumber us, that cause us to not be able to pay attention like we should, that's going to be taken away. The worship that we're going to do in heaven is going to be without distraction. I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine how that's going to be. So don't think of how you feel right now and how you feel when you're asked after you've led 30 songs or whatever. If you're tired, you know, you're hungry, your stomach's growling, whatever. That stuff's going away. You're going to be in the presence of God, the very presence of God, and be able to worship without any encumbrances. We're going to have a spiritual body I talked about. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when the corruptible have been put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. We will be like our Lord. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what it shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things to himself? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass of glory the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Again, we will be free from all these cares of the world. We'll be in the presence, the very presence of God. We'll have a changed body. All the ailments that we suffer as old people, all the problems, all the diseases that cause us to be distracted in this life will be taken away. Can you imagine such a thing? What a great hope that is. Revelations 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of this heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and their God. How many times we read this, even in this lesson this morning, how many times we read that and not always get the full depth of that? And God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. The former things are passed away. I make all things new. These are key points. When God says he will make all things new, one of the things is going to be marriage. There would be no marriage, giving and taking in marriage in heaven. That won't be part, that we won't have that in heaven. For in Matthew 22:30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels as the angels of God in heaven. There's not going to be any physical pain. There's not going to be any diseases. There's not going to be any mental pain. Some in here have lost their loved ones, their mates, for years and years. They've lost them, and now they're suffering for that loss. That loss will be taken away. There will be no sorrow in heaven. There are some here that their mates have left them, have walked out of their life and left them to raise children. and to be able to try to make a living on their own. That struggle, that stress will be taken away in heaven. If you can endure it today, there'll be a day, there's a great day coming for you. That stress will be taken away. Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and all the servants shall serve him. There will be no more sin. Can you imagine a place where there is no sin, where it's pure and holy? Nothing in unclean will be in heaven. Revelation 21, 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which is written in the Lamb of God. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And at that point, I want to talk about the article that Brother Trey Jenkins wrote this morning. It's an excellent article. I hope you've read it. But in that article, he is, and by the way, I want to say at this time, we appreciate all of our younger men who have been writing articles. I know several of you in here have done that, and I encourage you to keep doing that. But I want to highlight what Trey has written, because it goes right into what I'm talking about this morning. One of the and I'll quote from his bulletin this morning, our number one priority in this life must be to go to heaven. Nothing else is important. Amen to that. I believe that. He says, he quotes Matthew 6:33, but seek ye the kingdom of God for his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Another quote, our soul is the most precious thing we have. There is nothing that can be equal in value. Nothing can be equal in value. Key points that I take away from Trey's article this morning are those, plus he says we will not accidentally go to heaven. That's true. You're not going to stumble into heaven. That's what I'm trying to motivate us this morning. Those are not Christians. If you're a nominal Christian, you're just kind of hanging on, you're coming once a month, I want this lesson to sink into your heart. You're missing something that I can't even describe the full impact of it, of what you're missing. Every day that you don't worship God here is a day that you put your soul at risk. If you're not a Christian, these things are being to motivate you to want to be a Christian. And for Christians that are suffering in our congregation, this is to motivate you, to make you understand there's a better day coming. And that's what I wanted to accomplish this morning. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we encourage you to come while we stand.